This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chilly day compared to what we've been having, and it's going to get a little cooler as we move on and matriculate our way toward Christmas, which is nice. Unfortunately, come Christmas, is going to warm up. It's 56 degrees right now, mostly cloudy if you average the temperatures in the area. Highs of 66 today, supposed to clear out later on, 64 tomorrow, 53 for a high on Saturday, 57 on Sunday. So get us all in a Christmas mood, but then unfortunately, it warms toward the big day itself. 66 on Monday, a 50% chance for showers Tuesday, highs of 70, and then a lingering chance for showers about 70% on Christmas Day with highs of 68. But get together with friends and family, and the rest of it will work itself out. Libby Sonier joins us right now, our friend, executive director of the Louisiana Policy Institute for Children, to talk about a new study about 27% of third graders in Louisiana scoring below level, and how important it is that kids read at grade level and early education. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And you?
Fine. Are you ready for Christmas?
We're getting there.
How about the shopping? Percentage of shopping completed. Where are you?
Probably about 40%.
Okay. Will you promise me you won't spend more than $100 on me?
I'll promise you that.
I have your word.
You have my word.
Okay, good. I appreciate it. Let's get serious now and talk about this new, results of a reading test that was given this fall. Tell me about how they go about determining 27% of third graders score well below, 19% scored below goals set by the state when it comes to reading. Who are we talking about here, Libby?
They are looking at reading assessments of those third graders in the school district. So that's how they measured that. About 4 or 5 years ago, they started a literacy commission at the Department of Education. Back when it started, I was on it. And they've really spent, they meaning the Louisiana Department of Education, have really spent a lot of time and effort thinking strategically about how they do improve those third grade reading scores so that children, you know, can thrive. And because you learn to read from kindergarten to third grade, and then you read to learn after that. So it's increasingly important that these scores are getting better, which they are, but it's still, you know, worrisome that we have 27% of children in third grade reading below benchmark.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but when it comes to determining reading at level, is it about speed? Is it about comprehension? What does that look like, Libby?
It's about both of those things. It's about fluency, how fluent you can read, recognition of words, how you're doing phonics, those types of things. And then are you able to comprehend what you're reading? Because reading without comprehension means that you're not going to be able to read to learn.
And if you're not comprehending it, how do you even know you're reading it? I'm not trying to get too
You're just reading words on the page. I mean, you're able to kind of like figure out what the words are, but if you don't have good fluency, which means reading with more and more ease, then you can't really comprehend what a story is, what the sentence is meaning as you're reading it.
I know a little about a lot of different things, and that's only because I read a lot as a young guy. And you and I may have had this discussion before, but man, I would read this and they'd make a reference to that. I don't know what it was, so I'd go and look it up, and then I'd read something else and make a reference to that, and I don't know what it was. I'd look that up. So you learn as you read. That's why it is so important that these young people read, correct?
Absolutely. And that doesn't just start in third grade. It really starts all the way from the time a mom is pregnant, because baby's here at 20 weeks gestation. And so we know that we've got to make sure that in those early birth to 5 years before children get to kindergarten, that they're having access to rich literacy and learning environments with a lot of language, so that when they enter into kindergarten, they're ready to learn. But another statistic in our state is that 70% of our kindergartners are entering into kindergarten already behind. And so if we're thinking about those third grade reading scores, we know we have to back it up, and we have to ensure that children have access to quality early childhood education so that they can enter into kindergarten ready to learn. And what that looks like is, you know, differentiating between sounds. What's the difference between a P and a B and a D? If you don't hear those subtleties of speech, mm-hmm. when it's time to learn how to read and put sound symbol relationship, it's hard. And then you get into the comprehension and fluency issues as the children age.
I'm passionate about this because, again, as I said, I know how important reading was to me. And I would think now, you know, back in the day, Libby, I didn't have to go to parchment or anything. It wasn't that bad. But you did have to go through some steps to do some research to figure out what did this mean and what did that reference mean. Now, man, I would think a kid reading would be able to just access whatever as quickly as they could, either through AI or Google or whatever, to find not just an example, but almost like a tree of things to learn from one reference.
Absolutely. The way we can consume knowledge these days is a far cry from when both you and I were young, where you just didn't have internet. You went to the encyclopedia and that's what you had. And so now you can just get information everywhere, but how you really do consume that information is by reading and going down these little rabbit holes related to references. Again, if you've got to have that early childhood education piece so that we have the sound symbol relationship, we have the nuance of sound so that we can get to phonics, and phonics helps with fluency that leads to comprehension. And I really do want to commend the Louisiana Department of Education, because Dr. Kate Brumley has had a targeted work related to this early literacy piece starting in kindergarten. And we continue to herald that decision and say it, but it also begins with making sure that children birth to five have early childhood experiences that lead to them being, you know, successful in school and in life.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. So is this 27%? Is it good news? Is it bad news? Does it indicate progress? Step forward, step back, no change. And then how do you fix it? We're talking to Libby Soni about the importance of early childhood education, specifically when it comes to reading. She's the executive director of the Louisiana Policy Institute. I always like to learn a new phrase, at least one every day. And Libby, you just taught me one. Reference rabbit holes. I love that, because you see something, you go to look it up, and then you go down the hole and you learn more things before you realize you're learning them. 7:21 traffic now, WWL. 27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Libby Sonier, executive director of the Louisiana Policy Institute for Children, talking about 27% of third graders in Louisiana scoring far below the reading level. So where does that fit in context, Libby? Is it a step back, step forward, no change? And how do we move the kids forward?
Well, it's a step forward. And part of it, too, is that the state, you know, has really made a concerted effort in early literacy and making sure that children have these literacy skills to be successful, you know, for the last several years. And so they are really doing a lot. The Department of Education is doing a lot of work around educating teachers on the science of reading, which we know has beneficial effects for them to understand how young children learn how to read and then read to learn. And they're doing that in a systematic way. And it's really, it's starting to pay off. And so, you know, a 2% gain is much better than having more losses. And so I think the thing to keep in mind is we're not where we want to be, but that doesn't happen overnight. And so that concerted effort for K through third grade, and then the increased access to quality early childhood education, will continue to be helpful. It'll be particularly important as we go into the new legislative season that we don't see any reductions in early childhood education for those birth to 5 year olds. And then we continue to see progress made on training teachers in the science of reading to be supportive of how young children learn how to read.
Yeah, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, and hopefully parents will be making them about their kids and, right, want to make their kids' lives better. What can parents do to improve these reading scores, and what age group are we talking about? And tell me what that looks like. What a mom or dad can do with their kids to help out, because you can't, I don't care if it's the most private school in the world, most exclusive school, unless it's a boarding school, it's not turnkey. The parents have to be involved, right? So what can they do,
Absolutely.
Libby?
So from the time a little one is born, parents need to ensure that they are reading and reading and reading and singing and talking. That's critically important in those early years. We know that 90% of brain development happens by the age of four. And so you really got to invest in reading and singing and talking and exploring language with young children. And then as, you know, as they age, you want to continue to do those same things. You want to make sure that you're opening up potential opportunities to accidentally learn something through reading to a child and being exploring and having opportunities to explore the world around them. And even for parents that are really struggling financially, read and talk and sing to your child. Those early years pay off in dividends. And, you know, parents oftentimes can't give what they don't have because they could be struggling, but we can always make a little bit of time to read. And I think that that is an important thing to also mention, is that the state has expanded the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library so that children have access to books and get a book a month for their first few years of life, so that parents have a library at home. And those kind of opportunities are critically important to how young children acquire language and then how they learn how to read.
Real quick, Libby, how do parents access that Dolly Parton? What is it?
Dolly Parton Library, and so it's in the greater New Orleans area. Our wonderful United Way of Southeast Louisiana is the one who operates it, so you can go on their website and look at that in the greater New Orleans area. It's just wonderful because it really does give families access to books that they may not normally have.
It's not only wonderful, it's everything, and I appreciate your efforts, Libby. I really do. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, okay?
Merry Christmas to you, too. Thank you so much.
You bet. Libby Sonier, Executive Director, Louisiana Policy Institute for Children. It is everything when it comes to early childhood education, and it reaps benefits or the opposite of that when we move forward if you don't get it done. Michael Glasser joins. We come back. President of PANO. We'll talk about the consent decree and more right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to our news director, Dave Cohen. All right, 7:46 now, 14 till 8 on this Thursday morning, 6 days till Christmas. Captain Michael Glasser joins us now, our friend, president of PANO. How you doing, Captain?
Good morning, Tommy.
I always get it confused. How many years on the job now?
I'm in year 48.
Man, I would like to sit down with you one day. Huh? That's okay? Everything's all right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I would like to sit down and pick your brain one day and just hear some stories about 48 years on a job as an officer and rising up to the rank of captain. Let's talk about the consent decree. And I don't know what it looks like from your standpoint, from the officer's standpoint, and what's going to really change when it goes away. Tell me about that, if you will.
Well, a lot of people have misconceptions about what this means. You know, a lot of people don't even understand what a consent decree is, other than the fact they hear it all the time, but they really don't know what it is. The bottom line is this, Tommy. This means we're going to be entering what's called a sustainment period. And all that means is the federal oversight that we have is going to be significantly reduced. It does not change what we do. It does not change the rules we follow. The consent decree and all the paragraphs in it are now embedded in our regulations and in our rules. That's what we do. That's not going to change. The only thing that changes is the oversight. The best way to explain that is this. I'll use this analogy. You know, you have a vehicle. You have a car. Mm-hmm. You check the tire pressure periodically. You check the oil. You check the transmission fluid. You check the washer fluid. You check the lights.
I didn't know you were a canine unit.
Power steering fluid. Sir?
Are you a canine unit?
No.
Oh, I didn't know. That's no worries. No, we're anyway, very dog-friendly here, Captain. We're very dog-friendly. I just didn't know. Go ahead.
No, thank you. Anyway, you know, you check all those things, but you don't check it every time you get in the car. You check it periodically. You check it if something poses a problem. You check it if something is very obvious, the tires are low, but you don't check it every single time you get in the car and every time you get out of the car. Well, that's what the consent decree is like with us. We have so much oversight that there's so many things we have to check constantly and go over constantly that we don't have the ability to function. It's just labor-intensive to get that accomplished. And that's one of the things that's been problematic with the consent decree is that it is so labor-intensive for all the oversight that we have that we can't function. What the sustainment period means is simply this. We're going to turn around and have it checked periodically. We'll have it checked randomly. And obviously, if a problem shows up, we're going to fix that. So that means we basically sustain ourselves. But the rules and regulations of the consent decree are now embedded in our department regulations. Nothing's going to change. And the second thing to remember is that we've been under a consent decree for 12 years. We had a high turnover rate on this police department. That means that the overwhelming majority of this department has never functioned in a department that didn't have a consent decree and the rules that we now follow. So it's a small percentage of the department left that actually knows how it, quote unquote, used to be, mm-hmm. because the department has basically a new department. So nobody's really functioned, especially the guys on the street, the younger fellas that are on the street and gals that are on the street. They've never functioned any other different way. And they're not going to, because it's in our rules now, and that's the way we operate.
That could be the most perceptive or the most interesting perception of this consent decree that I've heard, Captain, and that is that there's been such turnover in the department. Few officers remember, other than people like yourself, how it, quote, used to be. And moving forward, it's not as though, okay, the consent decree goes away. The operation of the consent decree goes away, but the operation of the department does not. Accurate?
It's just the oversight that goes away.
Right, that's what I meant. The maintenance of the decree itself.
The best analogy I can give you is what I gave you. You don't have to go around and check your tire pressure every single time you get in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can check it periodically. You can put an eye on it, make sure your tires don't look low, but you don't have to put a gauge on it every single time you get in the car.
But to carry the metaphor,
another hour to every trip you take.
Right, to carry the metaphor forward, the new pressure that has been set at 35 as opposed to 32 remains the new pressure.
That's it. That's all we do. And instead of checking it every 5 minutes, we just check it periodically, or if there, you know, a problem pops up and we see a problem, we do that. We check it randomly, we check it periodically, and if a problem pops up, but we don't have to check it every single day, every single time, because that's labor intensive, and as you know, we're labor challenged.
Yeah, I don't
know. We're 800, maybe 850 cops now that are actually on the street. We should have double that. So we're working hard to do all these things, and that's it's going to be good for that to unleash that burden for a while.
Let's pick it up there. We come back. I just got to ask you real quick. What kind of dog? Sound like a German Shepherd, was it?
It is a German Shepherd, yeah.
I knew it. I grew up with him. I figured that. All right. What's the dog's name?
Zeke.
Good name. All right. 751 Zeke. More with Captain Michael Glasser. We come back 9 till 8. That's right. 9 till 8. Traffic now. WWL. 58, 2 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Captain Michael Glasser, president of Pano, he along with Zeke, his trusty German Shepherd. We grew up with those dogs. We grew up with those dogs, Captain. I love German Shepherds, but the hair can be a lot.
Well, mine's all black and he's short hair, so it's not too bad.
There you go. Let's talk about NOPD moving forward and manpower and next year and so forth. How bad is the manpower issue and with the academies and with attrition? Is anything really getting any better? Because it seems like the numbers keep going down. I don't have it in front of me right now. And how does that affect what's, I guess the bottom line is, has anything changed manpower-wise when it comes to actual street operations?
No, it actually hasn't. The good news is it hasn't really gone down. And if it has, maybe by a little, we're kind of breaking even. But, you know, the problem has been, and we've talked about this before, is that when we lose an experienced officer and we hire a new recruit, we don't hire cops, we hire recruits. And it takes them 6 months in the academy, 4 months with field training before they are, in fact, police officers. And then when they are, they're rookie police officers with no experience. So it takes almost a year for somebody we hire on to become a police officer and a rookie at that. And we're replacing an experienced officer with that. So we're always lagging a year behind in terms of one for one. So I mean, you could say, you know, if we lose 100 cops and we hire 100 recruits, we didn't really break even because those 100 recruits are not going to be on the street while these cops are gone. Mm-hmm. So that's why we shrink. And then, unfortunately, we have a lot of turnover. We have a lot of people who find out the job isn't for them for a variety of reasons. And so we're lucky enough to break even at this point. We're not really shrinking badly, but we're still behind the eight ball on this.
Thank you, Captain. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you.